thank you for listening to another Hastings NAS podcast. We are so pleased that you have shown interest in listening to this podcast, and we pray that it is edifying and beneficial for you. You can watch us live every Sunday morning on Facebook, facebook.com/HastingsNAS. And if you are so inclined, you can support the ministries of the church by going to hastingsnas.org/give. Hope you enjoy this sermon. Grace and peace.
So listen to the words of Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 11. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving to you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God chooses, that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, God of our ancestors, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us up out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders. And he brought us up, brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. This is the written word of God. Thanks be to God. I promise that that was completely coincidental that we made that announcement and then read that text. Rather, maybe it was coincidental, or maybe it was providential. I don't know. What would you say if I said, this land is your land, this land is my land? From where? To where? From where? The Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Who was this land made for? This land was made for you and me. I learned something this week. In preparation for today, I learned something this week. I learned this week that I did not put my order of service correctly in my Bible. That's what I learned. I learned that Ottawa County, in just near. You're like Michigan, you know Ottawa County there? I learned why it's named Ottawa County. It's named after the Ottawa tribe. The Ottawa tribe, the Odawa tribe. Right? I didn't know that. I'm not native to Michigan. But the land that we dwell in, from where we are right here south of Grand Rapids all the way up towards Traverse City, was all land that belonged to the Odawas, the Ottawas. The indigenous peoples. I wonder how they feel about this land being made for you and me. This land was made for you and me. I don't know how they felt. This land, what makes land belong to someone? Land is a kind of a difficult thing. It causes a lot of tension in the world, doesn't it? Just ask the Ukrainians right now. What is land? This land was made for you and me. People are saying that about Ukraine right now. This land was my land, not your land. Ask the Palestinians and the Israelites about the value that land has and who land belongs to. Who does the land belong to? This land was made for you and me. When we read Deuteronomy 26, I think we might be singing a different song, though. When we read Deuteronomy chapter 26, this story from the ancient Israelites, it might be telling a different story about who that land was made for. Because if you read the text, it says that this is the land that God gave them. Who owned the land that the Israelites were to enter into? Did they create that land? Is it theirs to do with what they want? You see, the text says, this is the land that I have given to you. I swore to your ancestors to give you. They don't own it, but they settle there. There's implied here in the text, it says that God gave it, which implies what? They didn't own it. They could not do whatever they wanted with it. They could not exploit it. They may possess it. They may live in it. They may dwell in it, but it wasn't made for them, not for them to own. Have you ever borrowed someone else's car? You ever borrowed someone else's vehicle? Maybe not even a family member, maybe a friend or an acquaintance. Have you ever borrowed an expensive tool from someone? Like a big piece of machine that you need to use for some project you have working on? How do you treat someone else's equipment? Maybe it depends on who you are. I don't know, but some of us maybe have been not the ones who received the vehicle from someone else or the equipment from someone else, but have been the ones to loan it to someone else. How do you treat someone else's equipment? I remember one time a pastor friend of mine did some marital counseling for a couple in his church, and he didn't accept any cash for the marital care that he provided them. He wouldn't accept any payment. This was a family that was pretty well-to-do, and they wanted to thank him. They wanted to give him something for helping them through their marital counseling. And so because he wouldn't receive any payment, they said, fine, well, then we're going to give you our car for 2 weeks. You can drive our car for 2 weeks. And they had a really nice sports car, a convertible. I don't know what kind of car it was, but for a couple weeks, they said, hey, just, we know you're not taking any cash. Just take our car. We got to give you something. And he didn't want to reject their gift. He wanted to accept their generous offer. So he took the car. But guess what? He never drove it. Stayed parked right in his driveway. Why? Why didn't he drive their super expensive sports car that they were loaning to him for 2 weeks? He didn't want to hurt it. He didn't want to ding it. He didn't want to damage this precious vehicle. It wasn't his car. He didn't want to do anything to the vehicle, so he just let it sit in his driveway for 2 weeks. I remember when Kayla and I were first married, we were going to travel from Kansas City to Bourbonnais, where my parents live, and my car was in the shop or something, I don't remember, but I remember asking some friends if I could borrow their car, and then we decided, well, maybe we shouldn't, because that's a long drive to take in somebody else's vehicle. We don't know that we wanted to take someone else's vehicle. And maybe you've borrowed equipment. I don't know about you, but when I'm borrowing somebody's equipment, I might have other projects, but I feel bad doing more than I asked to do with that equipment because, I don't know, what if I damage it? What if I break it? We tend to be a little bit more careful, right, when it's someone else's. We tend to be a little bit more intentional with how we utilize that thing when it belongs to someone else. What does it mean that God has given them this land? What does it mean that God allows them to dwell in this place? Well, the implication is that they are not dominators of the land, but stewards of it. And I think that language is very important. They didn't create the land. They didn't bring themselves to it. The implication is that they can't just do whatever they want with it because it belongs to God. It is God's. They ought not exploit the land and abuse the land. And this is further emphasized when they are told what to do with the land. What are they supposed to do with the land? Well, according to the liturgy of Deuteronomy chapter 26, they are supposed to give the first fruits to the Lord. the first fruits, or sometimes we refer to this as a tithe, right? We talk about a tithe. Deuteronomy doesn't talk about a tithe. You see, when we talk about a tithe, what do we think of? Y'all said it, 10%. And guess what? That's correct. Tithe is a word in Old English that means tenth. So tithe means tenth. So when you hear tithe and you think 10%, guess what? You're spot on. And Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, talks about offering a tithe, a tenth of what they get. But we're not reading Leviticus today, we're reading Deuteronomy. And what does Deuteronomy say about this? Deuteronomy talks about the first fruits. You see, Deuteronomy is not talking about giving a prescribed amount of your goods, a specific percentage of whatever you have. For Deuteronomy, it's more about the order in which things are given. It's not a particular percentage that can be given at any time. I know people who put their tithe on a credit card once a year, and with the tithe that they put on their credit card, they can then pay for their vacation to Florida from the benefits they get from their gift through their credit card. That's not what Deuteronomy's talking about, saying, hey, here's 10% of whatever you have. Deuteronomy is talking about first fruits. Deuteronomy is talking about first things. You know, we're not an agrarian culture, right? Not anymore. We live in a capitalistic society. We have currency. We have credit. We don't live from season to season. We don't tend to eat seasonally anymore, do we? We can eat tomatoes year-round. Doesn't matter what season it is. We can get most of our produce all year round. We don't tend to live season to season. But for the folks in Deuteronomy, for these people, they were agrarian. They lived on the crops of the land that they grew. They lived from harvest to harvest. And they had to live off of what they harvested that previous growing season. So they only had to eat what they grew. So when the new harvest comes up, they take the first things that appear, and what do they do with them? Give them to the Lord. Living season to season is kind of like living paycheck to paycheck. You live on the funds that you get for that 2-week period or 1-week period or 1 month period, and then you eagerly anticipate that next paycheck hitting your account. If you live paycheck to paycheck, you know that giving the first of your harvest, now that can be pretty sacrificial. Giving the first, I don't know, that's hard. Because you also got those bills to pay. Giving your first fruits also meant, church, that these folks were giving their best. You see, when the harvest came up, they would go and they would walk throughout their field and they would find the best grains. It says, take your basket. Take your basket, which comes from the land, and walk through your field and take from your land the best of the first fruits that show up and offer it to the priest, whoever is presiding. I noticed that as I read it this morning. It really doesn't matter who's in office at that time. You give not because of who's officiating. You give because it's to the Lord. When the harvest came up, they would go and walk through their field, finding the best grains and putting it in their basket, and then they would offer it to the priest. And by giving God their first fruits, they were putting first things first. This was a spiritual practice for them. This is why we worship on Sundays, church. It's why Sunday is the day in which we worship, because it's the first day of the week. And we worship in the morning because the first thing we do is present ourselves to the Lord. And guess what happens when you put first things first? It makes everything else easier to fall in line. When you put first things first, everything else can fall into place a little bit easier. Why do you think you put the corner and edge of the puzzle together? You put those in first. I don't know anybody who puts a puzzle together from the inside out. You're kind of a sadist if you do that. You like punishment. Granted, if you do puzzles, I think you just kind of like punishment as well. But you put first things first because everything else needs to follow that. They're giving the first fruits of their land to the Lord with saying, hey, God, we finished last harvest season. We're living on the dregs of what we had. We're living on the last cans of food that we canned last season, and it's not the best that we've got anymore. But this new harvest just came up, and we're going to go through our field. We're going to find the best, and we're going to offer it to you. Lord, we give you the best of ourselves. What's kind of funny, though, is when you think about what people think the church needs. When people give to the church, I'm going to be real, friends. Can I be real? Sometimes people don't give the best and the first to the church. Sometimes the church gets the last and the broken. Not from anyone in this room, of course, from the community. When people are wanting to get rid of some furniture, do you know what they do? Oh, let me call the pastor. Let me get a hold of that church. We want to get rid of this couch, or we want to get rid of this bed. We want to get rid of these things. Well, let's call the church. Let's see if pastor can do anything with this. And I've had real conversations with real human beings who want to give something to the church, and I'll say to them, oh, that's really thoughtful. Thank you for wanting to help out the church. Why are you getting rid of it? Why are you getting rid of this thing? And do you know what they'll say to me? Oh, it's broken. It's broken? So it's your trash. This is what you think we want? You want to get rid of this thing, but you don't want to take it to the dump, and so you want us to come and get it because it's broken? Church, God doesn't want your trash. God doesn't want your leftovers. God doesn't want the things that you're just going to get rid of anyway. But isn't that what we give him? The Israelites could give God their first and the best for one reason and one reason only. It wasn't theirs. They could give God their best and their first because they knew that the land did not belong to them. Because it was God's in the first place. They could give their first and their best because they were stewards of that which belonged to the Lord, because they weren't losing out on anything when they gave that which wasn't theirs to begin with. I want to say that again. They weren't losing out on anything when the land wasn't theirs to begin with. It doesn't feel like a loss when you recognize who the real owner is. The land was already God's. When they gave the first and the best, they weren't losing anything. They could give their first and their best because, listen to this, church, God had been faithful. The first and best was a sign of faith that God will provide because God had already provided. And this is why the Israelites were instructed to say to the priest what they said to the priest. Deuteronomy 26 is a liturgy. This is something that was taking place in the house of worship. And so they would bring the basket from the land, full of goods from the land, the first of the harvest, and they would offer it to the priest and say, hey, a wandering Aramean was our ancestor. Remember from where we came. This one man who was an alien and an exile. And through him came a great nation, but when our people were oppressed in Egypt, God brought us out. When we were lowly and destitute, God was good to us and brought us out. We cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction and saw our oppression. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, God brought us up. And he brought us to this place. And he gave us this land. So now, therefore now, I give to the Lord the first of the fruit of the ground that you have given me. That was their worship practice during the harvest season. When they gave their first fruits, they were supposed to tell the story. They were supposed to remember their history. They were supposed to remember from where they came to where they are now. And to remember those who are there where they were. Did you catch in the text that it says, the aliens within you shall participate? You were an alien at one time. Do not neglect them. You see, they could give God their first and their best because God was the God who brought them up out of slavery. God was the God who heard their cries and brought them through the wilderness and fed them in the wilderness and quenched their thirst in the wilderness. God was the God who brought them into a bountiful land, a fertile land. They could give God their first and best. Hear this, church. Because God had given them his best. God had given them his first and his best. You see, these Israelites needed to tell the story of God's goodness in their life over and over and over again. They could not forget the story of how God had been faithful to them, about how God had given them his best. And I don't think we're all too different, are we? We're forgetful people. Ask Kayla, I'm a forgetful person. We need to tell the story, friends. We need to relive our history as well. Do you know how faithful God has been to us? Do you know how good God has been to us? Can you tell the story of how good God has been to you? How has God been faithful, friends, to you, to this church? Can you tell the story? Can you share the good news that God has been good to you? Friends, I want to tell you, we can give God our best and our first because God has given us his best and his first. And we on this side of history know that. We on this side of the resurrection know that because when we were wandering, when humanity was still stuck in sin and darkness, God said, I am coming to you. Because when we were broken, when sin had seemed to win, God said, I'm giving you my best. I'm giving you myself. God withheld none of himself for us. Can we tell that story? Do you know who that is? It's Jesus the Christ, who is for us God's best and God's first. We can give to God because he has given to us. Church, can we tell that story? Can you testify to that story? And if God has been faithful to us, God has brought us to this land, can we give God our first and our best? No, far too often we give God the scraps. Far too often we give God the things that we were going to toss out anyway. I don't know. I'm done with all my work for the day. I finished what I needed to do today. I'm done with the things I needed to do. So now I can take the time that I was going to waste on my phone and I'll give it to God. I've accomplished all my work. I'm done with everything I needed to do. Man, I'm going to... I really want to watch that new show on Netflix. I guess I'll give a little bit of time to God. I guess I could dedicate some of that. I wasn't going to do anything with it anyway. Church, what is your best? What is your first? Maybe that is money and resources. But that's not the only part of our lives that we give. What is the best of your time? What is the best of your energy? What is the best of your dreams and your desires and your passions and your hopes and your dreams? Can you give the first of your dreams to God? Can you return to God the best of your desires? Friends, God has been good to you. God has been good to you, so give him the good in you. Don't give him the dregs. Don't give him the scraps. Don't give him that which you would toss out. God has been faithful. So may we respond by returning to the Lord that which is actually already his. God has been faithful. Let's tell that story, friends. God has been good to us. So might we then return to him a portion of that which he has already, that which has already belonged to him. God doesn't want our scraps. God wants our best and our first. This is the good news of God for the people of God today. Amen. Church, we're going to sing in response, and then we're going to come to the table of the Lord together. I want to invite you to respond to the word of God for us today as we sing and as we receive.